So a few nights ago, I watched a film, which I think is from the 50s, called It's Always Fair Weather. Anyone seen this? No. It's a musical-type film with Gene Kelly and other people who I can't remember all the names of now. And the premise is that there are three friends who were through the war together. And the film starts on their last day when they're about to return to their lives or whatever their life will become. And these three disparate people had been brought together because of the war and fought together and decided that they would always be friends no matter what. So they made a promise that 10 years from that day, they would meet in a location and prove the strength of their friendship. And there's a dance scene, of course. And then 10 years later, they do, in fact, all come back. None of them quite sure if the others will show up, but waiting to see what will happen. And they reunite, and for a few moments, it's wonderful. Just like old times. But very quickly, they realize that they're different people now. Each of their lives have gone in different directions. They've forgotten some of the old stories that they shared. And very quickly, they wonder what they've got themselves into. And the lunch falls apart that they've gone to. They're not sure what they're doing there. And they would have ended up all going off on their own way, except there's a TV show called It's Always Fair Weather that is missing its surprise guest that evening. And one of the producers on this show has discovered these three friends at lunch and decided that the best thing to do will be to replace these surprise guests with the three friends. They're surprise guests because no one knows that they're coming, but also because the guests don't know they're the guests. So the film continues with how each of the three of them ends up back on this show. But during the course of that day, between the lunch and this evening program, each of them starts having revelations about their life, what they're happy with and what they're not happy with and what they want to change, so that by the end of the film, you could say this is a spoiler, but I think it's kind of obvious, they're friends once again. They're able to recognize what they don't like about themselves that's been getting in the way with them liking each other. So why am I talking about It's Always Fair Weather in this scripture reading? Well, I was thinking about, in the scripture reading we heard from Romans, I was thinking about the phrase, live in harmony. Because that is such a powerful phrase, and it's really a summing up of all the list of things that are included. Don't pretend you're wiser than you are. Don't be too haughty. Don't respond with evil. Live in harmony. That idea of the importance of relationship. And in the film, harmony has a very literal presence. You see their closeness to one another because at the beginning, they sing a goodbye song in three-part harmony. You see that friendship expressed in the music they create together and, of course, in the dance sequences. And then partway through, when the three of them are separate and not happy with their lives, but starting to wonder what's going on, they once again, in their three different places, are singing in harmony and dancing the same steps. And by the end, that returns with them dancing and singing and coordinating a fight sequence in harmony. I'm not advocating fight sequences, but, well, to know why, you'll have to watch the film. Live in harmony. What do we learn from the musical idea of harmony? So there might be a few different things. Might be a few different things that we think of when we think of harmony in music. This is the point where you can shout out some things. You've got different voices. Good. Right. So one of the really important things, I'm going to stick with this for a second, then keep going. But one of the really important things in music is that harmony requires different. If your voices are all the same and you're all singing the same note, no harmony. So you have to be different from another to create harmony. You have to listen to the person beside you. Harmony means that you can't just be caught up in your own life. You have to be listening to what's happening. You can't just sing your note really loudly. You have to listen to the note that's being sung beside you and see if they sound good together. So it's the difference, no matter how big that difference is, that creates that combined effort to create harmony. Mm-hmm. Harmony is like a song that never ends. And it's something that can keep building and growing. So you can start with simple harmonies, and they can become more complicated and more complex as you get to know each other and how you sing together better. Yeah. So we think in a church context, we think of singing in harmony or hearing an organ or piano play in harmony. But I think the singing in harmony metaphor is better for thinking about how we relate to each other. But it doesn't just have to be voices. It can also be musical instruments, like we hear with our C-flat jazz band, or like you hear when you go to the symphony. It can get bigger and bigger what's possible with harmony. Yeah, good. It's not just about music. This is a metaphor for life. We will get there in just a moment. So this brings up a good point, which is that we don't always expect what the difference is going to be. So sometimes our harmony is expected. Sometimes we're singing in thirds or fourths, a sort of obvious harmony. Sometimes the harmony we create isn't expected. It's something completely new, something different, like the crunchy chords that you get in jazz. And yet, even though it seems like it shouldn't work, it does work very well. Exactly. So similarities support you, differences teach you, but only if you feel in that difference that you are trusted and supported in that difference. And that's what we get with musical harmony. Those different voices supporting one another and supporting each other being different, because if we were all the same, less would be possible. So as we're getting to harmony is a metaphor for how we live. So the metaphor we heard in this reading is how we live as a community of Christians. That's what Paul, the epistle writer, was talking about. And because it's about love and how we live our lives, it's also a metaphor for how we exist in our individual relationships, in marriages and partnerships and friendships, and in our relationships with family members. It requires listening to one another. It requires adding our own. Harmony doesn't exist in silence. And that voice, as a metaphorical voice, doesn't necessarily mean talking. It can be other gifts that we bring that complement one another. It means recognizing our differences not as a problem, but as a strength, as something to build upon, to make more complex. And it also means acknowledging that sometimes the harmony will be expected and sometimes it will be unexpected. It will create something new. And that is a beautiful thing. Ah, that's the other thing no one mentioned so far. Beauty, right? Harmony is about creating something beautiful together. Something beautiful. And beauty has its own intrinsic worth, its own goodness, just for its own sake. We get to talk about that next week when we talk about creation. So I was thinking about this idea of harmony. In our context, with Leaside United Church and Prestine Woodbine United Church joining into this new congregation, this might be a good image to be thinking about. Because we're thinking about what are the different voices that each of these congregations are bringing to our new piece of music. If they were exactly the same, there'd be nothing new created. And fortunately, they're not exactly the same. There's many similarities between the two congregations, but there are also a whole stretch of differences, different strengths, different weaknesses, different focuses, different people. Good. All of those differences. And that makes something new. So we have this question of how together do we create a space for that harmony to not just exist, but to grow and flourish into something more complex. How do we do this as our new congregation? How do we do this in the new space of the fall, as new things and new voices and new groups begin or restart? And how do we do this just as a congregation gathered here, singing together, listening to each other's voices, making up the notes when we don't know them, right? What we're doing here in worship is practicing for what we're doing as a community of faith and what we're doing in the rest of our lives and the other groups that we are a part of. Now, I think harmony matters not just because it's a good way to live and not just because beauty is a good thing, but I think the idea of harmony is intrinsic to our understanding of God, as expressed in the Trinity. Now, the Trinity is this idea that doesn't make a lot of sense, and yet we cling to within Christian tradition, this idea that God is one and also more than one at the same time. That's the basic concept, right? Why bother with it? Lots of people think we shouldn't. We should just focus on the oneness of God. And the reason I think we might not want to abandon all our other notions of God is if we think of God as three, then there's space for harmony. There's that idea that intrinsic to the very nature of the divine is harmony, relationship, listening, creating something that's bigger, more beautiful, and more complex than just one. And so in our desire to be part of the divine, our desire to express the divine in our lives, we are called to emulate that same character of listening, recognizing difference as something to be celebrated, and together creating something beautiful, complex, and new. And we can do this together. And so, reflecting on harmony in our own lives, in our understanding of God, and in our singing together, I think this hymn has harmony in it. If it doesn't, this would be really poor planning on my part. Let's sing together.